listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
That's right. I'm RJ, live coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas on 200 Fox Sports Radio stations. We're excited before, we're excited after. I don't know about you guys during the game. I'm assuming, especially if you're in-game betting, and that's what we're going to be doing. Yeah, we're not going to tell you the score. We're not going to have someone with a deep Ted Baxter voice reading the stat lines and acting like it's analysis. The Jonas does try to do that sometimes because of that professional voice he has, but we won't let him. We won't let him. It's all about what's different, what's better, what's the Vegas perspective. And we're joined. We said, Brad Powers, take the day off. We don't need you because Fez got this baby locked up. He's Steve Fezzik, NBA expert, NFL expert too. We'll be getting into that as the months to come. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. We mentioned him. He's in L.A. Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, let's talk score, but let's also talk narrative. Game one of the NBA Finals is in the book. The Raptors over the Warriors, 118-109 last night in Toronto. The Raptors now have a 1-0 series lead, and all of a sudden, the narrative has changed. So, RJ, what is the Vegas narrative on the Golden State Warriors minus Kevin Durant?
You know, we were telling Fez yesterday, one of the things we're working on as you know, radio guys that have now taken this so seriously, where not that long ago it was an afterthought for us, do all the work. And then, oh, look, ESPN in New York wants to talk to you, or Fox in LA wants to talk to you. And it's like, okay, here, this is a job. We take it seriously. And what we were telling Fez yesterday was, you know, numbers are hard to hear on the radio. So when you got a number they need to hear, say it loud, say it proud. Now, Jonas, we gave him a little bit of love about his news reading ability. And he comes in and you could tell he was joking. It's like, but we have analysis too. So he didn't want to sound like Ted Baxter. But then at the end he says, and then again, we'll talk about the narrative. No, that's the lead, baby. The narrative here. Because Toronto, I mean, listen, let's be honest. Anyone that knows anything knows that Toronto had somewhere between a 50% chance and a 40% chance to win that game. Meaning the market said, if you just said Vegas is right, what was Toronto's chance of winning the game?
55%. Toronto was a 1.5-point favorite.
Okay. So I should have flipped it. Is the odds would be between 50 and 60. So if you say Vegas can be wrong, but Vegas is never or very rarely that wrong. And if they're that wrong, it's going to be one of those you can bet $100 on it. So they're not, it's not worth them being right sometimes. They'll throw a number out on a prop, except the fact there's a chance they didn't do enough research. But the amount of money it would have cost to do the research is more than they would gain by doing it, so they don't, like any good business. Otherwise, Vegas is not going to be that wrong. So you agree with me, Fez, unless Vegas was way wrong, give it 5 percentage points one way, 5 percentage points the other for them being a little wrong, and Toronto had a 50 to 60% chance to win the game.
Agreed.
And Toronto won the game.
They did.
All right, so imagine if I had a coin, but somehow I painted a little clear plastic, like, what do they call it, epoxy, whatever it's called, and you couldn't tell that because it was clear, but it made one side of the coin heavier.
Slightly biased coin.
Yeah. And now the flip happens. The heavy side dives usually to the ground more often than random. And let's say that because of my clear proxy, heads was a 50 to 60% chance. If I flipped the coin and it came up heads, and I just put my hands up George Costanza style and walked away chanting a victory song, that seemed pretty absurd, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, it'd be dramatic. You wish you would have taped it with your little video phone, but still. Now, what happened yesterday? A team that had a 50 to 60% chance won, and now you hear, not everybody, but Jonas, you're a rabid consumer of sports media. Mm-hmm. What percentage of the, you know, national level narrative discussion has been, wow, now we got a series, wow, you know, like a total reevaluation?
Percentage, 90% of what I've heard. People so stunned by what
majority.
They saw. Yeah, vast majority.
Jonas would have never said 90%. A year ago, he would have been, oh, you know, mostly. Now he's breaking it down by the number. So I love it. I feel proud. All right. Fez, how much sense does it make that something that should have happened more than half the time happens and everyone's acting like it changes everything? Now, listen, let's acknowledge the following. And if you learn any, listen, learning sports betting is a multiple year process. I'm in my mid-40s, very youthful, you know, but still in my mid-40s. I've been betting for over 30 years. Yes, since I was 14. Statute of limitations is up. I'm fine saying it. But the fact of the matter is that I probably learned more in the last year than I've learned since I was 25, just because we're spending so much time producing this content that I'm learning from you, Steve, and et cetera. I'm not sure if I learned anything from Jonas yet about sports betting, but maybe.
Yeah, how to lose.
If you can learn, those listening, if you can learn one thing about the playoffs, there's two different arenas to consider. One is, what's a team's chance to win the series? And the other is, how good are these teams? What's a chance to win the series? How good are these teams? Now, before game one, those assessments are almost identical. There might be something different. You know, you got home court to consider, but there might be, let's think, what could it be? So, a team could be so fatigued they went 7-7-7, and the other team went 4-4-4, Moses Malone style, and then they, and you could say there's a big fatigue factor. But in general, and we don't got to talk about the edge cases, was there any that jumped out at you, Fez, other than what I said?
No. You're spot on.
Yeah. Other than that, at the beginning of a series, how good the teams are and their chance to win are pretty much the same number. And entering this series, it was 70% Golden State was going to win based on the Vegas odds, 30% Toronto. Now, we know the odds have improved drastically for Toronto. And you might say, well, RJ, that's proof positive. We should be ranting and raving about this. The 90%, I thought it was closer to 89, but the 90% that Jonas said was saying that, I would make the case if they were saying, wow, Toronto now has the better chance to win the series, they'd be absolutely correct. So let's use the numbers again, Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Steve, what are the odds right now imputed from the, you know, -110, whatever. So what, first let's get with the minus numbers and then we'll impute the odds.
Sure. So Golden State's still favored to win the series, -150.
-150. So they were?
-260.
All right, 260 down to 150. And the odds you convert from the -150, considering the fact that the take back is, you know, probably 130. So you take the VIG out. Now, forget what all that means. What it means is these are the true numbers. Percentage-wise?
Golden State wins 58% of the time.
Okay. And the numbers were 70% before the series. So think about that. What has changed that we know for sure? What we know for sure is 70% of the time Golden State was expected to win this series 24 hours ago. And now 24 hours later, Toronto won a game that they had a 50 to 60% chance to win, and the odds went from 70 to
58%.
That's big. That's big. Because if you flip it the other way, Toronto's odds of winning went from 30 to 42%. That's pretty good, right? If one day you got a 30% chance of achieving your goal, the next day you got a 42% chance, that's great. Get excited if you're a Toronto fan or if you're excited for a long competitive series. But don't act like anything else has really changed. Now, sometimes something else will, that you'll see, and college football is a great example of this. You don't really get to see these teams play that many competitive games, the very best. And sometimes we'll have a situation. I remember when Ohio State beat, when they won the national title in college football the last time, and they beat Oregon in the final, I think it was, and Alabama in the semis, if I remember. But whoever they beat in the semis, they were a 7-point underdog. Do you remember, Jonas, who that was?
I got to look it up. I remember, there was...
Maybe we'll look it up during the break just so we know.
Third string quarterback?
Yes, exactly, for Ohio State. And then we asked a number of professionals the next day, what would the line be if these teams replayed? So it was Ohio State is a 7-point underdog. Initially, they played one football game. And at the end of one game, the conclusion was, oh, if they played a game, it'd be pick 'em. So literally went, wait a minute, from 7-point underdog to pick 'em after one game. That shows you we aren't very sure. Vegas isn't sure about the college football rankings. They don't play enough games against each other. Agreed?
Agreed, and they don't play enough meaningful games. Let's face it, Ohio
State. Yeah, games that matter is what I'm
saying. They play two or three really good opponents all year long.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be looking at Ohio. I'd be looking at the SEC for that issue myself. But we'll get into that come college football. You know, there's nothing on Twitter that gets you more attention than saying something extreme about the SEC. Because both the lovers and the haters get involved. I found that out. So the reality is that in college football, we don't know how good the teams are for sure. One game can change our minds drastically. But that's not the case in the NBA. We're moving towards what, game 90 of these teams? Or past game 90?
Yeah, 100.
Yeah, moving towards game 100. And everyone's competitive. I don't care if you're playing the worst team against the best team. I mean, you're getting on the edges of being competitive at that point. But 80-plus percent of NBA games are going to have a line, and I just doing this in my head, I could be a little off, between +7 and -7, you know, +8, -8. It's going to be, or single digits just to be safe. So 80% of 100 or so games for these teams were competitive. And we had game after game to say how good they are. And if during the regular season, when you're kind of moving the needle and saying, oh, I think OKC is worse than I thought, it's usually a half a point, right?
At most, you downgrade
them a little bit.
At most.
The question is, was there anything in this one game, about game 100 or so of each of these teams, Golden State, Toronto, was there anything about it that made us change how good the teams are intrinsically? If so, then the 90% rant and raving are correct. Two things would have changed. One, Toronto's chance to win the series went way up, which it did. But two, we got this wrong. And if we got it wrong, we got to reevaluate everything. I'm skeptical that's the case. But when we come back, we're going to give Steve Fezzik every possible chance to tell us, has something fundamentally changed about Toronto versus Golden State? Because if it has, you better know about it.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We're straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will talk about how many in sports media are eating their words from about a week ago.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I'm not even sure who those people are. Because on one hand, if you think about it, the people that said, oh, Toronto's in big trouble, I'm not really sure, as we talked about in the first segment, how much they are. But on the other hand, if you flip it, you're not sure either. I guess what we're saying is, and that's what makes sports fun, we're not so sure about who's going to win this series, but we think people are overreacting. Jonas is certainly right about that. We have fun every weekday bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, it's 90 degrees, and the neon for the second time this season is sizzling.
So, RJ, we talked a few minutes ago in the first segment of the show about how the Toronto Raptors, although favored going into the game, now everybody is surprised with the result. And Toronto's winning definitely changes their chances in the series. But the real question is, sports media full of second guessing the morning after, into the afternoon afterwards. RJ, how skeptical are you over some of the overreactions?
Very, very skeptical that anything has really changed. Now, most of our listeners are dedicated listeners because they know, one, if they're betting, that, you know, the 50% of our bettors, they're listening every day. It's like one of those things, they're at their kid's recital, and they got the little transistor radio in the back, that kind of deal. We love it. Let me be clear about this. If you're in any event for your children and you're bored and you're listening to Straight Out of Vegas and having this look on your face like you're blissfully enjoying the kid's dancing, but really you're laughing at Fez, thumbs up, thumbs up. That's me personally. A lot of people would consider that to be controversial. I don't give a care. It's just how I feel. All right, now, Fez, here's the question. 50 to 60% chance Toronto is going to win based on the Vegas odds entering game one. Toronto wins. What possibly happened in that game that changed your fundamental opinion about how good Toronto is and how good Golden State is? Because if nothing did, then all we say is sometimes it's heads, sometimes it's tails. Let's keep flipping, baby.
Fair enough. There was one question that was answered, RJ, and that's...
All right, well, let's be clear. So the question was, entering the game, if I would have said stack rank, and I think we did, stack rank the things you'd love to know, where if you could go ahead of time, you made a deal with the entity above, and you said, I want to know one thing. Imagine that. That'd be cool. It's like a better's dream. You know, not like three wishes from the genie. It's one thing I want to know, but you can't know the score. You'd like to know, like some would say, well, how many points is Steph Curry going to have? Because if you find out he had 4 points, you're making the mortgage bet on Toronto, right? So what was it that coming in you would have loved to have known?
Would have loved to have known how Toronto, those baby dinosaurs, were going to handle the bright lights of the NBA Finals, something that Kawhi has certainly seen before, but most of their other players had not.
Yeah, in no significant way. I agree with you. Now, the first question I would have to say is that question really a valid question? Was, well, this Toronto team just won a hyper-competitive series going back to against Philly. I mean, for second-round series, if you had a time machine and you took every second-round series loser in the NBA of the last 10 years, so let's think, you've got two in each conference, there'd be 40 teams, right? I think the Philadelphia team this year would have been one of the five best second-round losers, with this Houston team probably on that list too. What would you think of that?
Yeah, I think it. I agree 100%.
All right. Now you have Toronto winning a very tough, high-intensity, when it comes to media coverage, round two. Round three, let's be candid, you thought Milwaukee, and again, remember, guys, for you non-daily listeners, Fez and I had a very big bet, very big, on would Milwaukee win or Toronto win. Now, this was literally a bet we made months ago. Brad had the Celtics. He had already paid off. He was pouting. And when they were up 2-0 Milwaukee, you were strutting around like a peacock. You know, you were saying things like, I don't have to say it, but. And then Toronto wins that one.
And you actually pulled me aside after our show and you said, you know what, Fez? I'm concerned. You're just getting, you're overreacting like the public. You know, you get two wins and all of a sudden you're spending that Milwaukee money. I think it's going to be a series still.
Yeah, you know, and again, I wasn't sure. I just know that it's never as bad as it seems. And this applies to a lot of life, but especially sports. It's never as bad as it seems, and it's never as good as it seems. And as you guys may recall, Toronto won. That's why they're in the finals, and I won.
Victory!
But I don't like to make big deals. I mean, I don't control the sound drops, so but I don't personally like to make big deals about it. So it seems like for a team in the finals with only one player with significant experience, Toronto's battle-tested. Agree or not?
Agreed. Playoff-tested big time.
So, but your assumption is that going to the biggest of the big stages, the finals, that even though they were more playoff tested, let's say, than a typical inexperienced playoff or finals team, you still had a big question.
Yeah, and actually the biggest question I had for their players, amazingly, RJ, was Siakam and how he would play the star of game one.
All right, now that's fascinating because on one hand, you're like, we know Kawhi. We don't have a lot of questions about him. Now, you weren't concerned because you've spent many minutes on, think about it, each minute on national radio is precious. You can educate. You can make someone laugh. You can pull someone away from the drudgery of a recital of a child. You know, there's a lot of things you can do with it. You chose, at your discretion, to spend a lot of time talking about Kawhi being possibly injured. Now, in hindsight, that seems kind of foolish. Do you think back and say, oh, I'm still concerned about Kawhi's injury? Because, you know, like 2 weeks ago, he stretched his knee out a couple times on the sidelines. Or are you pretty good with Kawhi's health?
I'm past that point. He winced a couple times last night.
Oh, so were you? Let me ask you a question, though. Were you watching it just hoping, not that he would get hurt, but hoping it's like, you know, I was right. And then after the game, he's like, oh, you know, guys, I just got to admit, I do have a torn ACL. I'm just playing through it. True. Were you hoping
for? Yeah, don't be fooled again. That's how I'll say that.
All right. So Kawhi's health, you've come around on.
Yes.
And now with Siakam, it was like, that's the guy or one of the handful you would say, man, if Kawhi plays his game and one or two others could step up, this could be a series.
Absolutely. And remember, he's the most improved player in the NBA this year. He was a role player off the bench last year. Siakam was for Toronto.
All right. So not only a guy without finals experience, a guy in a way that hasn't been used at the pro level to be even the second or third option on a good team, right? And
yes,
he emerged into that this year.
And made 11 straight shots last night.
All right. So let's give, I don't know if credit where credit's due, but in that column of what's changed, are doubts about Toronto's non-Kawhi players having trouble with the brightest of the bright lights has been decreased. But one game that, I mean, for example, they've yet, how many road games has Toronto played under the bright lights?
Zero.
Okay, the NBA final level lights. So maybe, because Barkley's point, and he knows, role players can play really well at home, but they struggle on the road. Now, if you have home court advantage, you know, Golden State, I mean, listen, Golden State cannot miss a bucket, literally not a bucket in any home game for them. They could win 240 to whatever, and they now have three road games to win one. If they go 0-3, it doesn't matter what happens, you know. Toronto at home only has to win three now.
Do remember that Golden State over the last 5 years has never had a series, RJ, where they have not won at least one road game.
Yeah, that you know what's so funny? Boy, we could do a whole podcast on this. Brad Powers has been trying to get that stat in the show. Daryl, for how long would you say?
As long as I've been here.
Yeah. I mean, he keeps, like, we send emails around, and usually each day it's all fresh info, or, you know, mostly fresh info. It's almost like a statue in front of a building that's been there as long as the building. And the footer of Brad's NBA emails has been this goofy stat that the team that has won all these titles, like, wins a road game. It's like, yeah, they play like three or whatever. They're going to win one out of three. I'm not saying it means nothing, but like, this show would have to be 6 hours for that to make it. Brad is missing his first day, day off in months. And somehow Fezzik slides it in with no permission.
Just swiped it.
I mean, did you tell Brad, watch what I do, and he can't blame you because you're not here? Like, what was the thought process?
Well, just because it seemed topical because you're bringing up the fact Golden State can win all their home games and still lose the series.
You know something? I'm going to give Fez half credit there. Of all the times we've been talking, if there was any time that horrible stat was somewhat applicable, it was there.
So I'll take it.
It went from egregious to, I'll probably forget about it tomorrow. All right, guys, when we come back, and let's just quickly recap. We've established, no doubt, and this is Vegas stuff. And for the half of you that don't bet, this is what you're taking away. 90% yap, yap, yap. Hey, we got some yappers here. I yap. All right. The question is, what are you saying? And most of the time, I think, especially of Fox, so I have, you know, I'm fans of others. When there's yapping, there's something behind it. Not so much, the late. So what's your shift on Friday night, Jonas?
11 p.m. Pacific to 3 a.m. Pacific.
Yeah, I wouldn't say exactly those times, but no. I'd say from 10 to 4. There's some yapping maybe without a lot of logic, but in general, I love our lineup. The fact of the matter is they're talk guys for the most part, and they talk great, and they make it interesting. What we try to do is make it interesting, but we also try to help you see how Vegas sees. And the Jeopardy, you know, superstar now is showing you if you've got Vegas knowledge, in this case, just bet sizing, it can affect you in a lot of different ways. So what we've learned is, yes, Toronto has a much better chance to win the series because they've won one of the four they need to win. But there really hasn't been much of a change after almost 100 games with how good Golden State is and how good Toronto is. When we come back, we're going to give Fez even more attention. You might have heard it. He was in love for 2 years. The person disappointed him, and he said, I'm done with you. It's over. And what's happened since is shocking.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take an early look ahead to Game 2 of the NBA Finals. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Well, listen, there's been clamoring for this. I mean, think about it. If we give like a best bet on this show, and you do some simple math, hundreds of thousands of listeners, half of them bet, but let's say only 10% of them bet a given game, and let's say they only bet $20. It's like, wow, that seems like conservative stuff, RJ, because a lot of people bet more than 20. Yeah. Like, it's over $1 million swing when we give a big opinion, either win or lose. Luckily, we've been winning a lot of those big opinions lately. You would think the $1 million in aggregate would be just dominating my timeline on Twitter. It's not. It's Fezzik's love affair with a man named Fred. Now, we're saying love platonically, right? We're not claiming there's anything physical at all. But Fez, it's not unusual for you to, you know, fall in love with an athlete because you love money the most. Now, I know you say, oh, I love my boy the most, but in the back of your mind, you're thinking, the more money I got, you know, I've got my mansion, I got my yacht, but the more money I've got, the more I can help my boy. So you love money. Would you agree with that?
I would, but my boy is number one, but you know what?
I mean, I know what you got to say, but we all know what's going on. All right, now... So in a way, the love isn't anything about how good the person is. You know, Fez, you know, you could say he loves me, but it's not my blue eyes. It's not my articulateness.
Bruh.
You think it is the blue eyes?
No.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You're very well spoken.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, exactly. But he does love me. Why? Because I make him more money than anybody. Right, Fez?
Yes, you do.
But, so let's go quickly through memory lane. Fez has a strong feeling about a certain NFL quarterback. And listen, we got the footage on it. Listen to the tone of his voice. Have you ever heard him sound like this?
I love Jimmy G.
I mean, it sounds like if I'm going through Cinemax at 2:30 in the morning.
Wow.
I hear that voice like that. It's the way, you know.
I love Jimmy G.
All right. Who would you say, up until recently, was number two on that list?
Freddie Van Vliet.
And Freddie's your little nickname for him?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you were, and just like love, sometimes the person in love is illogical, right? It's like, think of all your friends out there, if you're a guy or a gal, and the ones you really are close to, how often have you looked at a decision they made, either to start dating him or her, to stay with them, whatever, that tattoo? A lot of the times we look and go, that's freaking crazy. Well, that's love. And actually, for the rest of this, we got a little theme music when it comes to what happened when Freddie did something that disappointed Fez. All right, Fez, I'm going to let you tell the story. So for about 2 years, let's keep that up for a bed. We got to remind people. What's the theme of this? Is you loved him because you thought he was just better than anyone else at what he did, not that he was better than LeBron. So, for example, Freddie didn't even start. The world was against him. You knew it. He knew it. He didn't even start during this time.
That's right. Freddie's coming off the bench. Analytics darling.
Yes. And a lot of the math guys, and Fez is one of them, loved Freddie. Now, you got 30 teams, 5 players per team, 150 starters. So you could say, well, Freddie at best was 151st in the NBA. Now, we could say, oh, some are better than other starters. So where you had Fred, where ranked in the NBA for value?
He was in my top 30.
So 150 would be normal.
Huh?
Yeah. He said 30. For years, everyone's calling and we don't even take callers usually, but they're still calling hoping to say, what the F? But you stood behind it because he kept delivering. He kept earning for you.
That's right.
Then it all changed. I'm going to let you say this in your own words.
Yeah, playoffs 2019. Freddie has 10 consecutive horrendous games.
That we're talking about in the past tense now.
Yeah.
From a certain point in this year's playoffs. Okay.
7 games against Philly. Almost single-handedly lost the series for Toronto. And then 3.
Don't editorialize. Just give the facts.
3 horrible games against Milwaukee. Shot 16%. He averaged 3 points per game during the regular season. 11, RJ. He was horrible.
Now, so the short answer there is he had a bad month.
Yes.
And you had been together a couple years.
Yes.
And your response, now some would say counseling, others would say grin and bear it. We all go through bad times. Your response?
It's over, Freddie.
He actually made the statement. He goes, this is an official statement of separation right on the Fox Sports Radio airwaves, 200 stations. And then you would think, You know he knows about this. I mean, you think it would be like he would plummet. Like whatever depths you thought there were, they were lower, you would think. But what happened?
Freddie went ahead and was at the birth of his first son.
Hold on. I'm not asking for any of this. What happened in those games?
Oh, he became Michael Jordan. He played 4 of the greatest games you have ever seen in playoff history. I'm going to quantify in plus minus, RJ. He was plus 24, plus 28, plus 12, and plus 11 when he was on the court versus his opponents.
So you could make the case that the last 4 games, or also known as the games after Fezzik's heartless breakup, that during those 4 games, it was 4 of his 10 best games of his career.
Oh, 4 of his best 5 games of his career.
There was no bottom.
I mean, you are just heartless. I mean, it's almost like, you know, sometimes you got to wonder about the universe and is there really justice? And the fact that Freddie responded to the heartlessness of Fezzik in that way, at least in a little way, makes me a little more optimistic about this world we live in. When we come back,
We'll see if Fez can redeem himself. Let's break down game two and a few other picks. I might have a little bonus.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Right out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan.
You know something, Jonas? Before we go on, and we've got a pick. Like, he's batting it, and I'm batting it too. We agree on game two. Also, another money-making opportunity. No money down. No cash up. Oh, wait, never. But I've already got a bunch of texts and tweets, even more tweets, at RJ in Vegas if you want to talk about Freddie and Fez. And for those just tuning in, it was just, say, one of the most heartless breakups you could ever imagine. And I presented it as such. I just gave the facts. But multiple people reminded me that there's a whole other element to this that makes it worse. It's like, what was worse than Hitler? Well, it's like you'd be thinking, what could this be? Well, what was worse than that, the breakup between Steve Fezzik and Freddie Van Vliet, was ultimately what caused Van Vliet's, we speculate, what caused his poor performance for that small period of time. Fez, what was it?
Yeah, I broke up with Freddie 11 days ago, and at that time, Freddie was attending the birth of his first son.
So speculation was, whatever was going on, and we don't want to, you know, stick our nose in it, that it was a big distraction. And that as much as this guy for years and years delivered without any fanfare, except for you, really, he had a couple of weeks where his head was in another place, and you said, we will never speak. I mean, it's like, you're gone. So the question is, how low is it?
There was no bottom.
Doesn't get lower than that.
Guys, we have a best bet from one Steve Fezzik, and it's a best bet on something that I don't know that we've ever bet on here, and it's involving the WNBA. RJ, please take it away.
Well, here's the thing. We know that half our listeners don't bet. So if there's something you're not going to have general interest in, we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. But I've given Fez 30 seconds to make us some money in the WNBA.
Atlanta -6.5 versus Seattle. I like Atlanta -6.5. I bet Atlanta, the Dream. The situation is great for the Atlanta Dream. Atlanta's been home all week practicing. Seattle's been on the road all week. They're at Minnesota Wednesday night. This is the time of year, RJ. Very short preseason in the WNBA. Not enough practices for teams to get ready. Atlanta's had all week to get ready for this game.
And the pick is?
Pick is on the Atlanta Dream, -6.5.
We take a look ahead now to game two of the NBA Finals coming up on Sunday, 8 Eastern time on ABC. Right now, the Raptors, a 2-point favorite on pregame.com.
All right, we got about 2.5 minutes. So I agree with you here, and I'll say it ahead of time. We established throughout the show, and if you haven't heard the whole show, this has been a good one informationally and some laughs. And the premise is Toronto is not much better at, or maybe better at all than we thought. Golden State's not any worse. So you would think the line would be somewhat aligned with game one. So, Fez, who do you like and why?
So I like Golden State +2. And I got to tell you, RJ.
All right, so +2.
Yes.
So what was the line in game one?
Game one, Golden State was +1.5.
All right. So when they lost, they're getting more points. And you would think that makes sense. We've seen how bad Golden State is. You know, not bad, but they're not as good as we thought, blah, blah, blah. We got the narrative. Even though Steph won all those games, he finally lost one without Durant. It's like, see, that's what we've been talking about. No. He's now like 32-2 in his last 34 without him. You can't overemphasize the most recent game. Now, the zigzag theory, which we talk about again and again, but real quick. In the NBA, when a team loses, like Golden State, other team won, like Toronto, you expect, what, 90% of the time? The line to think the losing team is going to do better. Why? Because they're motivated. They don't want to go back 0-2. And Toronto's sitting back a little fat and happy. Not a huge factor, but it affects things about a half point. So the fact the line went the other way, away from the zigzag, means the market said, oh, Toronto's a lot better than we thought. I don't think so. I'm betting it. finish up, Fez. You got 30 seconds.
Yeah, so we're on Golden State plus the two. And I think it's not just an overreaction to game one, RJ, but it's an overreaction to the fact that Toronto was 4-0 straight up and against the spread against Milwaukee.
Okay, so now that's a great point. When people are betting, it's not just little numbers. Oh, they're 4-0. I heard it on Straight Out of Vegas. It's the fact that they bet, and then they double their money pretty much. They bet them, they double their money. How happy are you going to be if you keep doing that? Well, anyone that's bet Toronto won a ton of money last series. They just won now. They're going to bet them. Good, because I'm betting Golden State, a double best bet.
If you missed any of today's preview of Game 2 of the NBA Finals, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We are back on Monday, 6 Eastern time, right here on FSR.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.